To begin with, Michael, how did you get started in film in the first place?
I started in film actually working on skating videos when I was in high school. So, you know, a group of friends of mine and I would go out and we would skateboard and I would videotape it. And I got a little pretty horrible little editing, you know, piece of editing software. And I would edit these skating videos. And it was through, you know, skating in those videos that I really got attached to the idea of becoming a filmmaker.
And when did you start to say, well, you know, this could be, you know, a professional career for me, even just beyond, hey, I'd like to make movies?
Well, in college, I actually went through three different majors. I was a computer science major, and then I believe I was anthropology and English before I ended up becoming a film major. And, you know, through college, I didn't really know if it's what I wanted to do for a career, but I knew that I was pretty good at it and I enjoyed it. So, you know, my senior year in college, I started making some videos that I was actually really excited about and I thought may have some real potential to, you know, for a market. And so, you know, it wasn't really till senior year that I started thinking about the possibility of working in film, you know, as a real, you know, prospect for a career. But luckily, when I graduated from the University of Texas, a professor of mine gave me a job, and I started working on a film of hers. And, you know, I decided that it was something that I enjoyed, and, you know, I might as well go ahead and pursue it and see if it worked out. But, of course, you know, you go into the film career in the film business knowing that most people who attempt to make it in film don't, you know, make it. So I was certainly open to the possibility that perhaps I wouldn't be able to make it as a filmmaker. And, you know, I have many other loves in life, and so I was prepared for that. But it just seemed to work out.
How did you first come across Rupert Isaacson before your collaboration on this film?
Yeah, it's an interesting story, actually. I'd been working on a couple of you know, bigger budget Hollywood films that had come through Austin. And I was extremely burned out on kind of this fast-paced, lots of money, but no time to spend your money lifestyle. And, you know, I'd pretty much decided that either I was going to change, the way that I worked in the field of film, or I was gonna, you know, get out of film production because the way that I was doing it just wasn't exciting for me anymore. And so at the same time, I had seen a flyer for a book talk that this guy, Rupert Isaacson, was giving at Whole Earth in Austin about the Kalahari Bushmen of South Africa. And one of my hobbies is to study indigenous cultures. I'm fascinated with their crafts and their culture and their spirituality. So I went to this book talk that Rupert was giving simply because I was fascinated with the work that he was doing with the Bushmen of Southern Africa. And so when I went to this book talk, I was incredibly inspired by what he was doing. Essentially, he was working to save what many scientists believe are, you know, the first culture on the earth. And so I went up to him afterwards and I said, look, I work in film, and I would love to help the cause. So, you know, perhaps we could work together on something to help, you know, save the Bushmen, to help with, you know, book promotion. And immediately we hit it off. And he said, okay, well, let's start working on a film about the Bushmen. And about 5 months into our pre-production, trying to find money for this film about the Bushmen, he kind of sat me down in his kitchen because we were having dinner, and he said, well, Michael, I know you've met my autistic child, Rowan, and you know that Kristen, my wife, and I have gone through pretty much every, you know, Western form of medication that we could. We've tried everything, and it just doesn't seem to work, or we get mixed results. And I've just got this gut feeling that because of Rowan's relationship with horses and my background in shamanistic healing, that you know, we should take this amazing journey across Mongolia on horseback, and we should seek healing for Rowan. And if worse came to worse, we would just have this amazing, you know, adventure on horseback with our child. So what's the worst thing that could happen? And I've just got this gut feeling that, you know, it's something that we need to do as a family. Would you like to come along and document the experience? And of course, you know, I said, yes, of course, you know, because, you know, it's really a once in a lifetime opportunity for a filmmaker to get the opportunity to work with material that's so both interesting, mysterious, and also inspirational and moving. So that's the background with Rupert.
And so you immediately said yes, but what were your initial thoughts, though, upon thinking we're going to be going to Mongolia and taking on this project?
Well, initially, I was just very excited. But, you know, once I started planning the trip out, then the reality of it set in. And that was that, well, it's going to be incredibly difficult to bring a film crew through Mongolia and travel on horseback and try and capture, you know, this really intimate story of a family, you know, essentially going to the ends of the earth for their child. And on top of that, I knew very little about autism when I started this film. And so, it's a daunting subject because it not only, is there an incredible amount of information about autism that you need to study up on, there's also an incredibly large amount of information that, you know, the scientific world lacks on autism. So, you know, so yeah, it was a really daunting idea to start this film that was going to be a travel adventure story about a family, but also going to be about one of the most bizarre, strange, and, you know, unknown disorders of our time. You know, what can you do? You're given the material, and so you have to step forward. And so I did as much research as I could on autism, and I did detailed planning of how we would make the trip possible, and it worked out, thankfully.
And what did you have pictured in your head as Mongolia, and how did that compare to the reality?
Yeah, well, you know, I've traveled a lot in South America, and I know that, you know, when you get to countries that are developing or you know, or rural, or countries where a large amount of the population lives in rural, remote areas, you know that, you know, the international airport is going to be a huge, dirty mess. And that's essentially how it always is, in most cases anyways. So I knew that when we arrived in Mongolia, we were going to arrive in the capital, which was going to be just kind of an urban, dirty capital city of a developing country. So I wasn't too surprised with what we found. But once we got out into the steppe of Mongolia, out into the countryside, I was blown away by how beautiful it was. I couldn't believe that, you know, I was on this adventure in such an amazing, remote, and picturesque place. So I just kind of took it in. It was incredible. I mean, you've got these rolling hills with these mountains that just jut right out of the middle of it. So it's really beautiful. And I knew it was going to be beautiful, but I didn't know that it was going to be that beautiful. So, and the culture is fascinating. And I didn't know what to expect with our guides and with the people who were going to help us, but I was amazed at how friendly and helpful everybody was. And that was a huge inspiration for the story, is just in general, the entire trip was positive and filled with a lot of love and a lot of care and a lot of people who truly did want to help the family and wanted to help me on my film production. So, yeah, I mean, all positive things came out of the trip to Mongolia. And, you know, if I had certain perceptions upon going, if nothing else, they were, you know, just shattered by the fact that everything was so beautiful and the people were so friendly.
During the journey, were you more focused on capturing this story, or were you able to actually soak in some of this yourself?
Well, both, you know, because like I said, I study indigenous cultures, and so, you know, it was a dream for me to travel through Mongolia and experience these cultures that were so rural, so remote. So it was somewhat bittersweet, to be honest, because there were definitely times where I wanted to put the camera down. There were definitely times when I wanted to not be, you know, the director of the film, when I wanted to just sit back. You know, for instance, the first healing ceremony with 9 shamans on a sacred mountain, it was incredibly beautiful. And I'm witnessing this spiritual moment with the shamans, and, you know, I'm experiencing it, but more than anything, I'm experiencing it through the lens of a camera. And, you know, any director or cinematographer will know is that, you know, you have a, there is a certain disconnect when you're looking through the lens of a camera, because you're not able to just sit back and let that energy flow straight to you. You know, you don't experience it in the same way you experience it through the camera. So, you know, there were times when I did absolutely get to experience some of the events on the trip when the camera wasn't there, or I just wasn't able to pick it up in time. And then, of course, you know, even when you're filming, you know, you can't, you're going to see, you know, the beauty, and you're going to feel the beauty. It's just going to be, you know, through a filter. But yeah, it was incredible, you know, even with the camera in hand. And from the standpoint of a director, it was incredible, because even though I may not be experiencing, some of that kind of beauty that comes with just experiencing it without the camera, I was also at the same time experiencing something different, which was, you know, being a director, watching something happen and thinking, this is phenomenal. This is so beautiful, and it's going to come across so well on film, because I'm moved right now, and the parents are moved, and the people around me are moved. There's no way that the audience, when they see this, is not going to be moved.
Now, the film of The Horse Boy has something that the book really does not, and that's interviews with some of the leading experts in autism, such as Dr. Simon Baron Cohen and Temple Grandin. And what led you to add their voices to the film?
There were a couple of reasons why we wanted to add the experts. One of them being that I knew that the film was going to need some grounding. You know, I trust Rupert and Kristen a lot, but at the same time, I knew that the audience wasn't going to have the background that I have with Rupert and Kristen. And I knew that, you know, one, the audience was going to need a grounding force. And the grounding force, you know, was going to need to be an objective opinion, an objective eye on autism. And so I knew that the experts would be able to provide that level to the film. And I also knew that, you know, with autism, it's such a complex subject. And so to not give the audience the scientific background, or at least some scientific background, to what autism is and the possible treatments, the possible causes, you know, it just wouldn't make for a well-rounded film. And I didn't think the audience would forgive us for that. I felt that, you know, there's a certain amount of information about the disorder that the audience had to know, just for their own personal information about autism, but also to be able to empathize with the parents, because autism is a very unique disorder, and it's not like anything else that most people have experienced. So in order to truly grasp the scope of the film, and the scope of what the parents were doing and going through with the disorder, I felt that it was necessary to provide that kind of information.
I think it's great that you placed that near the beginning of the film as well, because especially as you mentioned, with so many conflicting ideas about the causes as well as the, you know, potential treatments for autism, it adds to, it helps explain sometimes the sense of confusion that can come on in parents, and how am I going to deal with this? And, you know, that leads into grounding Rupert and Kristen, as you said.
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredibly confusing. And that's one of the things that struck me when I did these interviews with the experts, is that even the experts don't really know. I mean, if you ask them, what is the cause of autism? What is the best treatment for autism? What is, you know, even if you ask their personal opinion, you know, most of the time they'll say, I don't know. you know, and to their credit, you know, they're very honest about that. But you know, it's fascinating. I mean, you need that information because, you know, when you see these parents and you see them going through, the confusion that they're going through, I mean, you have to think, well, okay, so their child has a disorder and they're doing as much research as they possibly can to try and find answers, you know, desperately. But at the same time, there are no answers. I mean, there are no solid answers. You know, it's really just about, you know, your own personal opinion, because you can seek as much information as you want about autism, but there's no conclusive evidence, you know, for the cause of autism, for the best treatment method for autism. So yeah, the parents go through an incredible amount of confusion on what they should do. And at the same time, you have experts saying, well, the clock is ticking. The longer you take to provide one certain treatment measure or treatment method for your child, the worse it's going to get, and the less chance there will be for them to recover, you know, quote unquote. So not only are they researching and not knowing what to do, but it's like a race against time. So it's incredibly stressful for the parents. And yeah, I think it was very important for the audience to get a sense of that.
The film pretty much leaves it up to the viewer as to which factors led to Rowan's really remarkable progress and healing. I mean, what did you see out there in Mongolia?
Sure. Well, my personal opinion is that, well, I'll say this. It could have been anything. You know, in Mongolia, you know, we encountered shamans, and they have a certain amount of healing energy, or so they say. And, you know, Rupert very much believes in that. And Kristen, you know, through time, believed in it in her own, you know, personal way. And so, you know, I'm not going to discount, you know, the fact that healing energy exists and that can be transferred from one person to another. So that's certainly a possibility. I also know that taking an autistic child to another country and exposing him to a bunch of experiences that they've never experienced before, introducing them to new people they've never experienced before, I know that not only, you know, could have a huge effect on Rowan, but I also know that there have been a lot of parents who say that exposing their child to new experiences has made them leap forward in really dramatic ways. So I know that's certainly a possibility. You know, obviously Rowan has an amazing relationship with horses, and they've seen changes from him while he was riding on horses in Texas. And so, you know, he spent a month on horseback essentially in Mongolia. So certainly that could have had a huge impact. And also, the intention of the parents. I mean, that could have a huge effect. Just the fact that the parents were expecting something from Rowan, or perhaps in a subtle, you know, subconscious way, they were interacting with Rowan in a different way. So, you know, it could have been all of these things. And as an objective, you know, filmmaker, you know, from that standpoint, I can honestly say I don't really know which one it was more than the other. I can say, though, without a doubt, that had the parents not decided to take this trip, had the parents decided not to take that extra step to follow their child and follow the love they have for their child, to think outside of the box, I can say 100% without a doubt that none of this would have happened. And so, from my perspective, it's not about which specific thing, you know, which specific aspect of the journey caused Rowan to leap forward, because that we'll never know. But what we will know is that the power of love, the power of dedicating yourself to your child and to your family and thinking outside of the box and trying new things can be incredibly healing.
What was it like to be bestowed with an audience award at South by Southwest this year?
The audience award at South by was incredible. It was actually the first award that we had received, and so And we didn't even know, actually, until that screening, you know, we step up for the Q&A, and the announcer says, oh, and by the way, they won the audience award. And, you know, it was fantastic. It was fantastic because, you know, it was our first award, and it was fantastic because it was in our hometown. And, you know, it was so amazing to show this film finally to all of my friends and family, and for them to be there for that. To get the audience award from our hometown community felt great, and it was a wonderful experience, and you know, I give great thanks to South By for having us.
Last thing I wanted to ask you is, were you a horse rider at all before this?
Actually, I was. My father moved to Colorado when I was 5, and he bought a ranch and he had horses, and so I grew up, you know, half of my childhood was on that ranch and riding horses, and so I do have a history of riding horses, though when Rupert proposed the project to me, I actually hadn't ridden a horse in probably 6 or 7 years, so I did have to ride on horseback and train and, you know, even bring my camera with me to try and figure out, you know, how we were actually going to do this. So yes, I did have some horseback riding experience, but none of it had really prepared me for exactly what I was going to encounter in Mongolia on horseback with my camera.
The horse is more complicated than a bicycle.
Yes, most definitely.
Michael Scott, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much. It was great to speak with you.